Let's pray together. Our Father, we need help, help from on high to hear your word. Our ears are so often clogged with the things of this world that we can hardly hear your voice speaking to us and preparing us for the world to come. Lord, we're often so distracted by the things of this life, we're not prepared to hear the word of true life. And we pray that you'd help us in this hour. Help me as preacher, help all of us as hearers to hear the voice of Jesus Christ coming through the mouth of a mere man. And to that end, Lord, help me to preach accurately, to be a faithful minister of the new covenant, not falling into error on the left or on the right, but to be an approved workman who needs not to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. For I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I prepared a word particularly for young people here this morning. And if you happen to not be a young person, you're a little more advanced in age, you're welcome to listen along. Young people, the Bible tells you, and history and your own experience tell you, that there's some things that you need to wait for. You need to wait for a job. You need to get older and be prepared for it. You need to wait as you're studying in your school to be ready for college. You're not ready for college right now. You're not ready for work right now. You also are perhaps looking forward to getting married and having a family of your own, but you're young and you're not ready for that right now. The Bible says that you are, as a young person, ripe for salvation. That you need to come to Jesus Christ while you are yet young and be saved from your sin. And so this message comes to you from God through His Bible. And as I said to older people, there's a word here for you, because everything that's being said to the kids is applicable to us as older people as well. But what I'd like to do this morning is to mention some reasons why children should come immediately to Jesus Christ. Why you children should come immediately to Jesus Christ. And I have four reasons why you should come to Christ today. And the first is this, is that Christ urges all young people to come to Him to be saved. The Bible teaches this very plainly. You can trust Christ and you can be saved from your sins while you are yet young. Old King Solomon believed this. He writes in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1, as he brings that letter to a conclusion, he says, "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near when you will say, 'I have no delight in them.'" Solomon teaches that you are best able to seek the Lord when you are young. He goes on in that book, especially in that 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes, to speak about the aches and the pains and the concerns of life that clog your mind. You're not so easily focused upon things when you're older, because there's so many other concerns that crowd out and push to the side that one thing that's needful. And that is to remember your Creator. That is to come to Jesus Christ when you're young. You see, as you get older, you ordinarily become more concerned about the health of your body and you think less about the welfare of your soul. And when you become old, you face weakness and sickness. You often think less and less about that most important thing, and that is to be saved from your sin. You see, the time to care for your soul begins when you're young. In fact, you may not live to be old. The time to come to Christ is now. There's another reason why you should come to Christ today. That is because God deserves the best of your time. He deserves the best of your strength. Seek Christ now so that you may serve Him all the rest of your days. There's no higher privilege, there's no greater blessing than to say when you're old, I remember when I was young and I remember the Creator in the days of my youth. Life has not always been easy, but it's been fulfilling because God has walked with me all the way through. You know, Christ is greatly pleased when young people come to Him. You may remember that He scolded His disciples when they tried to keep parents from bringing their children to Him. They were thinking, well, Jesus has too many important things to be concerned with than for your children to come to Him. Jesus said to His disciples, no, you've got it all wrong. That's why I'm here. I came to save big people and little people, old people and young people. They're all sinners. They all need to be saved. Don't keep the parents away. Let them bring their children to me. I know that your parents want you to come to Jesus. That's why they bring you to church. That's why they teach you about Him at home. That's why they pray for you. Why they pray with you. Why they urge you to seek the Lord while you're yet young in order to be saved. Your parents teach you a lot of things. They have a lot of concerns for you. They have many hopes for you. But the main thing that they teach you and the great hope that they have and their concerns are especially that you might be saved. Not only do your parents desire you to be saved, this is God's desire too. He delights to save young people, even little children who put their trust in Christ as their Lord and Savior. I know a woman who's about my age, and she was telling about how God had brought her to Himself when she was yet young. She had heard a good gospel message about Jesus dying for sinners, and God showed her that she was a sinner. And she was just amazed at the marvelous grace of God that would send His Son into this world to pay for all of her sins. And her mother found her weeping in the closet, weeping tears of joy that such a God should love such a sinner as herself. You can be saved while you're yet a young child. In fact, the Bible has many examples of young people who entrusted their souls to the care of God and remembered their Creator in the days of their youth. Timothy probably was saved when he was a young child. He had a godly mother and a godly grandmother who prayed for him and taught him when he was on their knee the things of God. And he remembered his Creator in the days of his youth. Paul says to him in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15, that from childhood you have known the sacred writings. In other words, you've been acquainted with the Bible, the sacred scriptures which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So when Paul found Timothy there as a young man, He had already trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and was saved. Daniel and his three friends remembered their Creator and trusted the Lord in the days of their youth. What do you think it was that gave them such holy boldness and fearlessness and courage? Because Christ was in them, giving them strength so they could face these trials and that they could come out on the Lord's side no matter what happened. So probably did David and Samuel before them trust in the Lord to be saved. David says in one of his Psalms that he learned to trust in the Lord while he was yet at his mother's bosom, while he was yet a little boy, a tiny little boy. Samuel was yet very young, probably not even 10 years old yet, when he remembered his Creator in the days of his youth. The boy, King Josiah, trusted the Lord when he was a teenager. We read in 2 Chronicles 34 and verse 3, "For in the 8th year of his reign," and he began reigning when he was 8 years old, so 8 plus 8 equals what? 16 years old. "For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was still a youth," the Bible says, "he began to seek the God of his father." He turned his heart to the God of his father David while he was yet a lad. The Bible teaches you young people, be wise like these young people. They all sought their Creator in the days of their youth. God made them wise unto salvation. They lived for the Lord during the rest of their lives, and they're all now happily with Jesus in heaven. Do you see what God is telling you? You don't have to be a grown-up to seek the Lord. You don't have to be an adult to come to Jesus Christ. The Lord desires young people like you to seek Him. Nor must you be a good person to seek the Lord. Good people don't seek the Lord. Why? Because they don't think they need to be saved. Remember what Jesus said. He did not come to call the righteous. He came to call sinners to repentance. The Bible teaches that you were conceived in sin and brought forth in iniquity, and you were speaking lies even from the womb. Jesus did not come to save those who think they are well, but who know that they are sick. He came to seek and to save the lost. He came to call you because you are not righteous. You are not well. You are lost. You need a Savior. God sent Jesus to save those who come to Him, and He promises all those who truly seek Him will find Him. And so He assured sinners in Jeremiah's day. God says through Jeremiah in Jeremiah 29 and verse 13, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." See, that's what God is saying to you this morning. Search, seek for God with all of your heart. I know you have a lot of desires, even while you're young, about what you're going to be and what you're going to do when you get older. But the most important thing for you now as a young person to seek the Lord in the days of your youth. Jeremiah's promise is for you too, young people. You see, God promises that every child who seeks Him with all of his heart will find Him. Ask Him to give you a heart that will seek Him even today. Listen to Jesus. Remember that He scolded those who tried to keep little children from coming to Him. We read in Mark chapter 10, verses 14 and 15, these words, "Permit the children to come to me." This is Jesus speaking. "Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it at all." Now we need to understand what Jesus is not saying and what he is saying. Jesus is not saying that children are in the kingdom of God because they're children. He's not saying that. But he is saying that all who come to him, whether they be children or whether they are adults with this dependent, trusting, childlike spirit, who cast all of their care upon him, who trust him alone for their acceptance with God, who confess their sins to him, he promises to save them. He'll bring them into his kingdom. The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. That's Jesus' desire for each one of you children here this morning. Go to him with this dependent, childlike spirit that says, "Lord, save me," and he will save you. And so the first reason that children should come immediately to Christ is that Christ urges all young people to come to him to be saved. The second reason is this: there is no better time to come to Christ than when you're young. Many are the reasons you should come to Christ when you are young. And we saw earlier that old age is not the best time to seek the Lord, when you're more concerned with your health problems and the things of life at an older age. There's no better time to come to Christ than when you're young. I have three reasons that this is so. First of all, you are not so hardened in the ways of sin when you're young. You are not so hardened in the ways of sin when you're young. Now, we saw earlier that even as a young child, you are a sinner. You have inherited your great-great-grandfather Adam's love of sin. You're born in his fallen image. You've been born with a heart that loves sin. But as you get older, your heart becomes more and more set in evil ways. The longer you live in sin, the more you love sin. And the more you love sin, the less you will want to be saved. How terrible it is to love sin and to not seek the Savior. How many young people have heard the voice of Christ speaking to them through the preaching of the Word? And it caught their attention for a while. And then the longer they heard the message of life, the more their ears became clogged with the wax of unbelief, so that the pastor could be up here preaching, and they may have heard words come out of his mouth, but it was just so much of this to them. They don't hear him any longer. As a young child, you are not so hardened in the ways of sin as when you will get older. Secondly, you have fewer evil companions to influence you when you are young. You see, as you grow up, you will meet many other people who love sin and hate Jesus. That's right, you can't love sin and love Jesus at the same time. If you love Jesus, you will hate sin. And if you hate sin, you'll love the Lord Jesus Christ, because he made you to hate sin. But if you're not a Christian, the influence of other unbelieving young people will be strong upon you. The Bible teaches that bad company corrupts good morals. You may have a good upbringing, but if you're not saved, the influence of ungodly young people will be stronger than the influence of your godly parents. You need to be saved from your sin and from their influence. And might I say also, you need to be saved from your sin so that you don't influence others to do evil. Now, your parents, you know, you probably said to your children, stay away from Johnny or Jane because they're a bad influence. You know, it's always the other parents' kids that are the bad influence. My mother used to say that about my friend Steve. And Steve's mother used to say it about me. We weren't good for each other. We were partners in crime. And God in His grace saved one of us. And if you are not saved, you will go deeper and deeper into sin. You may remember the story of Hansel and Gretel. They went for a walk in the woods one day, and they would be able to find their way out, so they left a trail of breadcrumbs so that they could follow the breadcrumbs back to their house. Well, you remember what happened? Birds came along and plucked up and ate all of the breadcrumbs, and poor Hansel and Gretel were lost, and the more they tried to get out, the deeper they got into the woods. And so it is with a lost young person who doesn't seek the Lord while he's a child. He goes deeper and deeper into the dark woods of sin. I personally know children who didn't trust Christ when they were young. And you know, some of them even went to church, like you're coming to church. Today they show no desire to be saved and to follow the Lord. Their best friends are now not Christians. A few are now miserably involved in sin. They're lost in the woods of their own sin, and they want nothing now to do with Jesus or with Christians. Please see, dear young people, that the longer you refuse to come to Christ, the easier and easier it becomes to continue in sin. Many teenagers and young adults that once felt their need to come to Christ at your age and didn't, now shall show no concern for their souls. They've turned away from their friends who did come to Christ. And now their best friends are other people who love sin. And though they might not want to admit it, now they firmly hate Christ. They have no desire to be saved. Young people, don't follow their example. Seek Christ while you are young before false Christians and wicked people try to turn you away from the Lord. There's a third reason why there's no better time to come to Christ than when you're young. You don't have as many responsibilities to distract you when you're young. As you get older, you will face adult responsibilities that will demand your attention. And before long, young people, you're going to be thinking of college. You're going to be thinking of your life's work. You'll move out of the house. You'll start living on your own. And like mom and dad, you too will likely get married. And if God should provide, you'll have children of your own. Now that probably sounds pretty strange to the younger ones among us here. But your parents likely thought that when they were your age too. Yet know that adult concerns often crowd out important concerns like your need to be saved. You're young right now. You're free from adult concerns. And while you're young, you're freer to give your undivided attention to seeking the Lord. Don't wait until you're older when you will have other concerns to distract you from coming to the Lord. Now is the time to seek Christ. Do you know that kids that don't come to Christ when they are young don't ordinarily come to Christ when they become adults? You live in a sinful world. Your heart only gets harder as you grow older. It doesn't become more tender towards God. Now, what am I saying? Don't put off coming to the Lord. If you refuse to come to Christ as a young person, you may well never come to Him. I'd like you to listen carefully to a study that was done a number of years ago, and on this very fact about what ages Christians were when they came to Christ. This is an article entitled "Every Year Less Likely." An accurate examination into the periods of life in which those whose life of godliness gave evidence of true religion first began to be followers of Christ furnishes an amazing demonstration of the folly and danger of delay. The probability of conversion diminishes rapidly as every year rolls on. He writes, take a congregation of 1,000 Christians. Now, you who have been in this church all your life, you can probably hardly imagine that. But take a congregation of 1,000 Christians. Divide them into 5 classes according to the ages at which they became Christians. Of those 1,000 Christians, there would be probably, hopefully, converted. And this man has done a study with a smaller group, but the numbers would be the same. Of those who came to Christ under 20 years of age were 548, 55%. Between 20 and 30 years of age, 34%. 30 and 40, 8%. 40 and 50, less than 2%. 50 and 60 years of age, 1%. Converted between 60 and 70 years of age, less than 0.5%. Now, statistics don't mean anything to God. Some of us were saved at an older age, but we didn't have the blessing many of you have of being raised in Christian homes. God, as it were, in His grace, had to do an end run around our sin and our experience in this world in order to tackle us with His grace and make us children of God. You see, to whom much is given, and much is given to you young people by being raised in Christian homes, much is required. The Lord Himself urges you not to wait to seek Christ. Heed His gracious invitation. Isaiah 55 and verse 6. And I'm going to emphasize the words that imply you need to do it now and not wait, sooner rather than later. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. There may come a time in which He will not be found. There may come a time, and there will, if you don't find Him, that He will not be any longer near. That's why the Apostle Paul says, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. And you have the promise of God who cannot lie, for whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Whoever, toddler, or one who's leaning upon a crutch in an old age. Paul says, everyone, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Don't wait. It's certainly dangerous and it often proves deadly. You can procrastinate on a lot of things, but you don't procrastinate on this, because your happiness for time and eternity depends upon you coming to Christ. So we're looking at some reasons why children should come immediately to Christ. First of all, Christ urges all young people to come to Him to be saved. Secondly, there's no better time to come to Christ than when you were young, because you won't be so hardened in the ways of sin, you'll have fewer evil companions, and you won't have adult responsibilities to distract you. But thirdly, all the promises and all the warnings of the Bible apply as well to the young. You need to be saved from your sins and from hell no less than your parents or other older people. What does the Bible teach? Until you come to Christ to be saved, God says that you are a son of disobedience and a child of wrath. Understand that your youth neither keeps you from hell nor does it bar the doors of heaven. Because you were born in sin, you need to be saved from your youth. Until you come to Christ, you are without hope and without God in the world. You are a child of the devil and you're not right with God. Until you come to Christ, you are not in God's family. You may be in a godly family. You may be surrounded by other Christians, but until you become a Christian, you are not in the family of God. You see, you're not born a Christian. And bless God if you have a Christian mom and dad. That's a gift from God. It urges you to believe upon Christ when you're young. But you become a member of God's family only when you come to Jesus Christ all by yourself to be saved. Mom and dad can't come to Christ for you. You must come to Him on your own. Until you come to Christ, God may allow you to experience much fun and happiness in this world. But not all fun and happiness, we know, is necessarily sinful. But it is sinful if you love fun and happiness more than you love God. But only when you come to Christ will you begin to experience true peace and real joy in the Holy Spirit. You see, only eternal life is true life. And that life begins when you trust Christ. You experience this life when you cast yourself down at His feet and say, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. You see, eternal life is the only true life. And that life is found in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Furthermore, until you come to Christ, you may gain great amount of earthly wealth and riches. But no matter how wealthy you may become without Christ, you will never gain true spiritual wealth. You'll never enjoy eternal riches. The old commentator Paul Harvey tells a story about a man who planned to swallow his whole cache of diamonds right before he died so that he could take his riches with him. Well, when they buried him, those diamonds were still in his stomach. And wherever he went, he didn't take them with him. Remember the story of young Moses. He could have been one of the richest men on earth had he not sought the Lord. But he gave up earthly wealth and chose true riches, eternal riches, by coming to Christ, even when it cost him the riches of this world. Hebrews 11, verses 24 and 26. By faith, Moses considered the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. You see, until you come to Christ, you may think that you're rich. You may be as rich as a prince, but you're really a pauper when it comes to the things of true value. Until you come to Christ, you may make many worldly friends and enjoy many of sin's pleasures, but only when you come to Christ do you gain true friends and experience the pleasures that belong only to the righteous. Again, listen to the story of Moses. Hebrews 11, 24 and 25. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Why was it when he was grown up and he's being groomed for the throne, did he refuse the riches? He refused the place of authority. He refused all of the power because he'd been schooled in the things of God. And when it came time, when he was grown up, he chose to align himself with God and with his people, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. You see, Moses prized knowing and serving Christ more than the enjoyment he might have gotten from seeking the pleasures of this passing world. Those things charm the hearts of us all. They particularly charm the hearts of older people, but you probably know something about those temptations, even as a young person, to think that they're more valuable and more satisfying than the things of God. You see, your parents, they walk by faith and not by sight. They're trusting in God who promises to give them an eternal reward, no matter how well healed they might be in this life. Their true riches are found in knowing the Lord. You see, when you come to Christ, God will bestow upon you all the blessings of salvation. He may not bestow upon you earthly riches. You may not become powerful. Your name may never be written in the book of the who's who of this world. But your name will be written in the book in heaven. That's the most important thing, is it not? Do you not want to be right with God? Do you not want to have the gift of the Spirit? Do you not want to be a member of the family of God? Do you not want true happiness and genuine peace and a sense of well-being in this life? Do you not want to know that when you die, you will go to heaven and not to hell? Go to Christ. And then finally, not knowing how long you will live urges you to come to Christ when you're young. Now, I think I understand something of being a kid, because I, believe it or not, was once one. And when I was a kid, I thought that I would live forever. And even now, as a grown-up, I often forget that I must die one day, and that day may come sooner rather than later. I often forget that I might not live to see tomorrow. Dear children, you don't know what may happen tomorrow. In fact, you don't know what's going to happen the rest of this day. You must learn to live as if each day will be your last. You must be prepared to meet your God. And none of you are ready to die, children, no less than adults, unless you are saved from the wrath to come, unless you have turned from your sin and entrusted your soul to Jesus Christ. Only those who seek and follow Christ are prepared to die. You can have the same hope as our aged sister Marilyn had in her old age while yet a youth, who, as she came closer and closer to the grave, she said, that she was ready to go. You can be ready to go as a child sitting in this pew. And if God should grant you your last breath today, you'll be ushered into the presence of Marilyn and most importantly, Marilyn's Lord, because he's your Lord too. There's no more sober wake-up call than I can think of than the death of a child. I don't know if you've ever seen a small casket. And this wake-up call should especially be sobering to you young people. In conclusion, I'd ask you to allow me to quote a few brief paragraphs from a book entitled A Token for Children, The Story of Little Tabitha Alder. Tabitha Alder was the daughter of a minister in Kent, in England. She was instructed in the Holy Scriptures by her father and mother, but she seemed ignorant of the knowledge of Christ until she was between 7 and 8 years old. It was about that time that she became sick. Someone asked her what she thought would become of her if she died. She answered that she was greatly afraid she should go to hell. Her friend asked her why she feared she would go to hell. Tabitha answered, "Because I do not love God." Her friend asked her how she knew she did not love God. Tabitha replied, "What have I done for God since I was born? And beside this, I have been taught that he that loves God keeps his commandments, but I have kept none of them." Her friend asked her further, "Do you wish to love God?" The sick little girl answered, "Yes, with all my heart if I could, but I find it such a hard thing to love one I do not see." Her friend advised her to beg God to give her a new heart to love him. Tabitha answered, "I'm afraid it is too late." Upon hearing this and seeing Tabitha's unhappy condition, her friend spent the next day in fasting and prayer for her. After this, that friend asked her how she was. Tabitha answered with a great deal of joy, "Now I bless the Lord. I love the Lord Jesus dearly. I feel I do love him. Oh, I love him dearly." "Why?" said her friend. "Did you not say yesterday you did not love the Lord and that you could not?" "Sure," Tabitha said, "but Satan hindered me. Yet now I love the Lord Jesus. Oh, blessed be God for the Lord Jesus Christ." After this, she became aware that death was approaching. Yet she said with great comfort and a note of holy triumph, "Shortly I shall be with Jesus. I am married to him. He is my husband. I am his bride. I have given myself to him, and he has given himself to me, and I shall live with him forever." This language struck her hearers with astonishment. Tabitha continued in a kind of ecstasy of joy, admiring the excellency of Christ, rejoicing in her interest in him and longing to be with him. After a while, some friends who stood by her observed great earnestness and determination in her countenance. So they said to one another, "See how earnestly she looks. She must see something." So one of them asked her what she was fixing her eyes upon so eagerly. "I suppose," one friend said, "she saw death coming." "No," retorted the desperately ill little girl. "It is glory that I saw. It is upon heaven that my eyes were fixed." One asked her, "What is glory like?" She replied, "I cannot tell, but I am going to it. Will you go with me? I am going to glory. Oh, that you all were going with me to that glory." With these words, her soul took wings and went to the possession of that glory. She died when she was between 8 and 9 years of age. Well, I close with a question to you children, and it applies to you adults as well. Do you have the certain hope of little Tabitha Alder that when you die, even if you were to die today, that you would go to be with Jesus in glory? What does God say in His Bible? What have we seen? That you are a sinner. You must be forgiven of your sin if you would be saved. And you cannot save yourself. God must save you. God sent His Son Jesus, the sinless one, into this world to die to pay for all the sins of those who trust Him. He showed that Jesus paid the full debt for sin by raising Him from the dead. And if you turn from your sin to trust in Jesus Christ, you will be saved and you have the hope of going to heaven. When you die, you'll have the hope of the resurrection. But maybe you're afraid that Jesus might not accept you if you come to Him, that He might turn you away. The Bible plainly and unmistakably teaches that that will never happen. He promises that He will receive you with open arms. He Himself said, "The one who comes to Me, I will certainly not cast out, but I will raise him up at the last day." You see, Jesus died to save young sinners as well as old sinners, little sinners as well as big sinners, all sinners who place their trust in Him. He calls to you today, come to Him, turn from your sin and trust Him and you will be saved. Come today, come now. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, our Father, what a good and a gracious God You are. You take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Indeed, it's Your desire that sinners will come to You, and You prove that by sending Jesus into the world to die for their sin so that they might have life, life eternal, blessed life, true life. And Lord, if there's any here, young or old, that doesn't know the Lord Jesus, who has never come to Him, might You give them the feet of faith and repentance to run to Him and to be saved. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.